Hey guys, good afternoon. Welcome to the Simple Podcast with Libby.
Unicorn.
Bullying and harassment.
Sorry,
I keep saying plus of it because, however, I what I just Nigeria's past leader and as a guy becomes kind of disinterested. Welcome to the Simple Podcast with Libby. I just guessed that I had to ditch the long title that is there's got to be hot takes on the Simple Podcast with Libby because I've not actually started dishing hot takes, but there are going to be hot takes much more later. You're welcome to the Simple Podcast where I talk about things legal, political, and sometimes I dabble into the tech world. Now, today we are going to be discussing four issues that have trended over the past 2 weeks. First of all, Flutterwave, our unicorn. I'm sure if you've been on Twitter and maybe on Instagram, you must have seen Flutterwave in the news. Nigeria's presidency, which always gets me laughing. Takeover of Twitter by Elon Musk and the Chris Land saga, which is much more recent. Now, we're going to start with Flutterwave. Now, Flutterwave was in the news last week, when Nigeria's acclaimed super journalist came out with an expose that highlighted a whole lot of things that our unicorn was involved in. Let me say the top management of our unicorn. Now, among those things, there was insider trading, bullying and harassment of staff and ex-staff, maybe sexual harassment, yeah. And also lying to the SEC and a whole lot of other things. Now, we cannot confirm if everything that was written there was actually legit, but you know, there were a lot of receipts, and Flutterwave has come out to say, you know, a whole lot of these things are actually just contrived, that you know, the journalists fictionalized everything. Well, I can't comment on that. However, what I can talk about is the legal issues that trunk the whole thing. Now, in the expose that David Hundain, which is the journalist that came out with, you know, the whole expose, he said that there was an employee left Flutterwave and she tried to sue the company, but Flutterwave then took over her lawyer or the law firm she was going to use. Maybe they paid them or something, and then that particular law firm had to drop her case. Now, if there's something called the RPC, which is lawyer talk for, you know, the rules of professional conduct, and there's a rule there that says a lawyer or a law firm is prohibited from switching professional services or legal representation to opposing parties, which means that if you are a lawyer for Mr. A against Mr. B, you cannot switch to Mr. B in no particular circumstance. Now, this law firm, what they just did was that they created a conflict of interest. However, it's interesting to note that they came forward and told the lady that, you know, we don't want to represent you anymore because we have a brief from Flutterwave. But what we're still trying to figure out is, did this brief come before she briefed? Did she tell them that, or did Flutterwave tell this company that, you know, we want you to act as our lawyers before that lady said, okay, I want you to act as our lawyers. Now, bear in mind that this law firm is one of the biggest and maybe even the number one law firm in Nigeria. So they created a conflict of interest and everyone has been commenting about. I would say that, yes, there is a conflict of interest because they've already taken up her case. And then only for them to make a turnaround and say, okay, they can't take her case anymore, which is really, really sad. Now, some of the other things that it was alleged that Flutterwave did, I keep saying Flutterwave because, you know, the CEO of Flutterwave, yeah, non-payment of stock to partners, multiple identities, and I've already said insider trading. Well, what they said was insider trading wasn't actually insider trading. I think we'll just call it maybe employee stock option. Are we going to say deprive? He didn't deprive them, but you know, he kind of forced them to sell back to him at a much more lower rate. Let's say he gave the employee stock at, and maybe the stock was valued at 54 naira per share or so. But you know, he would force them to sell it to him at 35 naira per share. Remember, these are all allegations, and you know, there were a lot of documents, a lot of receipts and all that. And lastly, they said he used the former CEO as a front, and he was still working for Access Bank. Now, here is the ethical violation in this. It's just like when you have a main job and then you keep a side hustle. So let's say you're working for like maybe GT Bank and then you have a side hustle, maybe you do videography on the side, which is acceptable. But now what it was alleged that this guy did was that he was working for Access Bank as the head of, I think, innovation or something, and then he was also fronting his own fintech. Now, fintech is financial technology services. So which means he was basically doing the same thing. So maybe we are not sure, he stole some ideas from the company and then used it. Maybe he stole some ideas from Access Bank and used it for his company. We can never tell. But that's where it becomes an ethical violation, because you are not meant to do that. You're not meant to work for two companies that, you know, might have conflicting interests, or two companies that do the same business. You're not meant to work for them at the same time. And then everyone's saying that this guy didn't actually tell Access Bank that this was what he was doing. However, we cannot tell. So those are all the issues from our unicorn, Flutterwave. Now moving on to the next story, Nigeria's presidency. Now no one knows who will be Nigeria's next president, and I say this very, very excitedly, because there's no clear-cut winner from all the aspirants. All the aspirants are just coming out in their droves, and many of the aspirants are people who are really popular. Yeah, they are really popular on the national scene. We've had Yaya Bello declare his candidacy. Vice President Yemi Osinbajo also declared last week. We also have new additions. Now, Adamu Garba, yes, of the famed Crowe app, he's also in the race. I think I saw him in the news when he was briefing IBB, which is Nigeria's past leader, and I think IBB was kind of disinterested. But you know, Adamu Garba has also thrown his hat in the race, and he feels that he's the best thing that's ever come out of Nigeria, like the best, next best thing to sliced bread. And he was talking to IBB, just like I said, and you know, the man wasn't even listening. Well, that's aside. Amechi, which is our Minister of Transport, is also on the tracks. Like, literally, he's running around the tracks, because when he made his declaration, he actually started running around the tracks. I don't know, but I saw it in the news, and he said he did that to show that he's very, very fit to take on the problems of Nigeria. Our Minister of Labour is also labouring towards the presidency. Chris Ngige has, you know, declared that he wants to rule Nigeria. Now, still on the political scene, the major political parties have released the prices of their nomination and expression forms. And I kid you not, we should have named our bill Not Too Poor to Run instead of Not Too Young to Run, because I can't even wrap my head around how the target market for the Not Too Young to Run bill has been excluded financially from affording the nomination and expression forms. Now, the APC pegged the presidential form at 100 million, the governorship it's 50 million, the Senate arm is pegged at 20 million, House of Reps, that's the House of Representatives, the federal level, is pegged at 10 million, and the State Assembly is 2 million. Now, I get maybe we can raise 10 million, maybe someone under 35 or so can raise 10 million, 2 million, but 100 million to be the president of your country, this has automatically disenfranchised and discouraged a lot of persons that wanted to run. I think Adamu Garba is also on this table. Now, the PDP also pegged theirs for presidential at 40 billion, I think. You know, the governorship ticket is at 20 billion, and also SDP and the likes. Please, they really need to have a rethink, because this just, you know, it just puts us in waves, really. Like, we really had no chance. However, the Not Too Young to Run bill will forever still be hailed as a novel legislation that will allow young people to run for office. But please, those prices really need to come down to ensure that we have a say in running for, you know, some juicy offices. Twitter might have a new owner, as Elon Musk has made a bid to take over the company completely since he became the highest shareholder, and he has made like literally the most amazing bid to buy the stock at a higher price than, you know, it was. Now, I think in January, Twitter stock was selling at $45.85 per share. And Elon Musk has said he's going to buy everything. He's going to buy each share at $54.20, which is amazing. That's like 45 plus to get 54. That's like $9 extra. Imagine the amount of money that people are about to make. Now, he said that if his offer is rejected, he'll sell his existing shares, which will tank the stock. So basically, the shares where he gets, if we, you know, for the company much. So if we, if Twitter talks, say, you know, they are going to reject his bid, he's going to sell his shares, and man, everything's going to tank. Twitter's going to lose a lot of money. Now, apparently, the board of Twitter, they were going to box Musk into like a quagmire and tell him that, you know, so that he won't be able to acquire more shares. And, you know, force him to join. They asked him to join them. Let me just say, they asked him to join them. But he refused. You know, smart guy. You don't get to be a billionaire by not being smart. I think Elon was one of the smartest. He refused. And, you know, he saw what the game was going to be. And then he turned it around for them. Like, I kind of think maybe, my corporate law is very, very rusty. But it's giving me the hostile takeover vibes. Well, Twitter might have a new owner, and let's just see how it goes. I love Twitter. It's one of the best social media apps out there. Like, no cap, no shade to Zuckerberg and his green and blue apps. Now, lastly, which is very, very sad, the Chris Land saga. Now, this school has always been in the news for one thing or the other. And the last time they were in the news, they hired one of the best lawyers in Nigeria to defend one of their staff who allegedly abused, you know, a little, not allegedly, because, you know, he's actually been sentenced to 60 years imprisonment. And then I think the Court of Appeal said, you know, you have to spend 60 years in jail. Now, there's another story making the rounds, and it also, and this one involves Chris Land again. This time, they took kids for an excursion to Dubai. Dubai, of all places. First of all, let us tackle that. When I was in high school, my own excursions were basically to National Stadium, maybe the airport, Nnamdi Azikiwe Airport in Abuja, the NNPC Mega Station, like that. Like, there was no Dubai or no foreign places and having to camp in it. Anyway, that aside, Sham, but they went to Dubai for an excursion, and, you know, those kids, little kids, less than 15, from what I read, they were like 10, 11, 12, 13, and they recorded themselves doing the most unthinkable thing. Like, this is one of the worst things to ever happen to Nigeria internet. Why are we going to talk about this here today? Is because there are some legal issues, you know, just convoluted in the whole thing. Now, first of all, the recording of that video and the publishing of same is a cyber crime. So it's kind of like an infringement on someone's privacy, first of all. But these are minors. So you recording that video, or you having that video on your phone, or posting the video, or commenting about it, or even saying you've watched it, you're actually committing an offense. You're actually committing a crime, and it goes with stiff penalties. I swear, you can spend up to 15-20 years in jail. Now, just like I say, watching, sharing, almost 15-20 years in jail. Now, when the news broke out, that's also one of the legal issues. When the news broke out, it was alleged that she was drugged and raped. I like to say alleged, because, man, some of these things are just mere speculations. If not gone to court and done the needful, they're still speculations. Now, it was alleged that, you know, she was drugged and raped, but I didn't watch the video personally, but from the commentary I've seen from so many people who watch those very, very nasty videos, according to what a friend of mine said, it appears that's not the case, because, you know, they say she was performing, she was doing a lot of things, and that doesn't really, really depict the picture of someone that was actually drugged and maybe raped. Now, there's also people saying that she's on other platforms, she's acting like she's grown up, that she's the bad bitch, blah, blah, blah. But she's still a child. That's one thing we have to remember. She's still a child. If she's 11, she's 12, she's 10, she's 13, she's 14, she's still a child. According to law, she's still a child until maybe she gets to 18 and even in some climes 21. So, you know, she's actually still a child. And if the parents cannot do a nice job raising her up, maybe legal action should set in, and you know, child services should just take this up, because for real, I really cannot even can. Like me talking about it here, I really cannot even imagine. Like, that child is scarred for life because of possibly negligent parent. Because I watched some other videos where she was recording some very, very erotic dance steps in her house. Obviously, maybe that was her mom's house or dad's house. Like, where were they when she was wearing those things, recording, doing all those stuff? Well, we never can tell, because, you know, everything is just sad, bad, it's distasteful, and I really don't know what to say. I really wish her the best. I hope she gets, you know, proper rehabilitation and healing. I just hope all of them come to a round table and discuss, and, you know, it has a nice and happy ending. Okay, guys, we've talked about everything that's, you know, possibly maybe had some legal issues that you guys might not understand. I'm really, really sorry. I recorded, part of this episode. I recorded it some days back, but I've been too reluctant and too lazy to release it to the general public. But now, you know, I do hope that you guys will still listen to this and, you know, share your comments. Tell me what issue or what thing you want me to talk about, maybe. Okay, guys, till next week, where I unpack and, you know, comment on some more issues in the legal, tech, and political space. You've been hearing the voice of Nini Adime. I hope you guys do not get tired of listening to me talk about, you know, a whole lot of things. Do share and subscribe and try to listen and listen and listen again. The more listeners, the merrier it is. Even though we didn't talk about some merry issues this week, but, you know, ciao, guys. Hey, guys, good afternoon. Welcome to the Simple Podcast with Libby.
Unicorn.
Bullying and harassment.
Sorry,
I keep saying plus of it because, however, what I just Nigeria's past leader, and as a guy, becomes more disinterested.